New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. They took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of our Lord. Our gospel reading from Matthew this morning is a story that we have heard over and over again. It is a narrative that many of us recall from our earliest church memories, when we filled the seats in the Sunday school classrooms as little types. It is a story that we have heard over and over, and that we know so well that when I started reading it to you, you tuned me out. And it's because you know the story and you know how it ends. But don't tune me out all the way. I promise that we are going somewhere with this, and I will try not to bore you along the way. There are a couple reasons why this story is so important and why it is so well known. And one reason is because it is one easy Sunday school lesson to prepare for. So Sunday school teachers always use it, and the kids love it because they get to eat goldfish and munch on bread all during Sunday school. But there is another reason why it is so well known, and that is because it appears in all 4 of our Gospels. It is one of those stories of the Bible that we cannot escape. It was an important story for the early church, and it remains an important story for our own lives. This narrative was so important in the early church, and it's so important for our own lives, because it captures the truth of the entire situation. It captures the essence of everyone involved. It captures the truth about Jesus. It captures the truth about the disciples. And it captures the essential truth about God. At this point in the story of Matthew, where our gospel reading begins, Jesus had just received the horrific news that his friend and comrade, John the Baptist, had just been beheaded by King Herod. And so he's attempting to retreat to this place, to this isolated place, where he can grieve and mourn over the death of his friend. But the crowds followed him, and Jesus, being this dynamic and magnanimous person, he spends time with them. He extends compassion to them, and he cures their sick. Instead of giving way to his emotions of wanting to isolate and retreat. This is where the story begins to capture the essence of Jesus and the truth of Jesus. We also catch another glimpse of the person of Christ when he refuses to send the crowds away, despite the lack of food and supplies they have on hand. And it's at that point in the story that we begin to see the true colors of the disciples emerge. They respond to the lack of food and supplies like most of us would. They realize there is not enough food to feed all those hungry mouths, so they just want to send them away. And then the story concludes with the final truth about Jesus and the essence of God revealed. Jesus again extends compassion to the crowds, taking what they do have on hand, and somehow, mysteriously and miraculously, feeds all of them, and there is an abundance left over. The story not only captures the truth of all involved, but it captures the essence of our own lives. It's a story in which we can relate to the disciples. Much like the disciples of the story, we become more concerned with only having enough for ourselves. And we think what little we do have won't amount to much. Just like the disciples of the story, we squeeze God out of the equation. We look at what we have, and we say we barely have enough for ourselves, so pack it up and send them home. The other evening at the dinner prior to the Ash Wednesday service, I was having a conversation with a couple of people, and they told me a folk story that I had never heard before. And you all may be familiar with it. It's titled Stone Soup. This story is about a couple of travelers that come to a village carrying nothing more but a large cooking pot. Upon their arrival, the villagers are unwilling to share any of the food or supplies that they have with them. So the travelers go down to the stream and they take this pot with them and they fill it with water and they place a stone in it. So they make their way back up to the village and they put this pot on the fire and they start cooking this water that has the stone in it. Well, one of the villagers becomes curious, and they ask, "What are you doing?" And the travelers tell them, "Oh, we're making stone soup." And they tell them how wonderful it is and how delicious it always turns out, but how they're missing a few ingredients. So the villager says, "Well, I don't mind parting with a few carrots." So he goes and gets the carrots, and he brings them back, and he puts them in the pot. And another villager walks by, inquiring about what is going on. And the travelers tell him, "We're trying to make this soup, but it hasn't reached its full potential yet." So this villager goes and gets a few potatoes and brings them and puts them in the pot. Another villager walks by and decides to offer some seasonings and some herbs. More and more villagers walk by, each adding a different ingredient and what little they had to offer. In a short amount of time, there was a large, delicious, and nourishing pot of stone soup for all to enjoy. The question to explore this morning is why we buy into the myth that we don't have enough to go around. Why we buy into the notion that we must keep everything squirreled away for ourselves over here instead of extending out and sharing with those in need around us. If we were to let go of this misguided concept that we need to hoard and store everything up for ourselves, then we could fully embrace the truth and the essence of Christ that is revealed to us in our gospel reading this morning. If we could let go of this notion that we won't have enough, then we could answer the call to stewardship that is revealed in this gospel narrative. Our call to stewardship, which is echoed all throughout this reading, is a call to reimagine the world, to let go of our misguided conceptions that there is barely enough for ourselves and surely not enough to go around. Our call to be the stewards of this world means that we take what little we do have to offer, our 5 loaves and our 2 fish, or a couple ingredients for the stone soup, and we offer it. Our call to stewardship from our gospel reading this morning reminds us that God will take whatever we do have and make something great and wonderful with it. Jesus says, "Bring me your 5 loaves and your 2 fish. I will multiply them, all will be fed, and there will be an abundance left over." I know that this concept is easy to hear and hard to trust, let alone to put into practice. The miracles of the Bible sometimes seem like a far-fetched idea that begs the question whether we should translate them literally. But these are the divine mysteries of our faith. And there are many other mysteries of our faith that we cannot explain either, but yet we still know them to be true. There are mysteries of our faith that are impossible for us to wrap our minds around. But we believe them with every ounce of our being because we have experienced them in our own lives. We have seen them occur in other people's lives. And because we know that the God that we serve has the power and capabilities to do things that are far beyond what our minds are capable of grasping. I was having lunch with a clergy friend the other day, and she was telling me a story about a Lenten series that she did with her congregation one year. And during this series, she asked the congregants to choose one word that would challenge them and that would stretch them during their Lenten journey. So she was telling me how this one woman in the church chose the word commit. And for her, this word meant stewardship. It meant to recommit her life to being of service to God, living and acting in such a way that is more glorifying to God, and committing to do what she could in her daily life to be of service to others. So she wrote on this card, commit, and she stuck it on the dashboard of her car so that everywhere she went, she would see it and it would be a nice visual reminder. I'm sure all of us could use a nice visual reminder in our car also. Well, several years passed and she ended up selling her vehicle and she forgot to take the commit card off the dash. Well, the gentleman who bought the car from her phoned her a couple weeks later and said, hey, I found this card on the dash. It says commit, so I dropped it in the mail to you. Well, the woman got it in the mail, and she didn't think much of it. She just stuffed it down in her purse. So one day, this woman goes to the grocery store, and she gathers all the items that she needed, and she's going through the checkout, and she pulls her wallet out of her purse to pay for the items. And there, stuck to her checkbook, is the word commit. And that little card. So she decided to recommit to this notion again, but it took on a whole new meaning for her since it was stuck to her checkbook. She decided to evaluate how she was spending her money. She decided to commit to God a portion of her income each month. Now she started out with a 3% tithe, and as this story was being told to me, this minister friend of mine indicated that this woman was very leery to offer 3% of her income. It wasn't going to leave much money left over at all. But she acted out of faith, and she committed to do this. The minister went on to tell me that this story had taken place 4 years ago, and over that course of time, this woman had been able to increase her giving to 15%. There are divine mysteries that occur within our faith that we cannot explain. God takes what little we do have to offer and turns it into more than enough. Amazing things can happen when we offer what little we do have to God. Now, this does not mean that we open up our checkbooks and just start writing checks to religious organizations around the world. But what this does mean is that we take the time to evaluate whether we are being the disciples of this story. And why? Why we worry that we won't have enough for ourselves, let alone anyone else? Why we buy into the myth that there is not enough to go around, so that we must swirl away all these things for ourselves? It means that we take the time to evaluate how we can be God's stewards in this world. Again, our gospel reading is so important that it made it into all four gospels, and it is for a reason. It is because it contains truth for our lives. The truth of Jesus revealed in the story can be categorized as a miracle and a mystery, but one which highlights the fundamental truth that God will take whatever we have to offer and multiply it. It is just up to us to commit to answer the call of stewardship, to retire our not enough mentalities and to offer what we do have, to offer our 5 loaves and 2 fish, to offer our few ingredients for the pot of stone soup. And as we answer the call of stewardship, all of our little gifts and offerings add up. And in the end, we have a full pot of soup. And we have enough bread and fish to feed the multitudes. This year, during our Lenten journey, I have developed a series for us that I've titled Live in Lent. And it encourages us to live into our roles as a disciple. It may be challenging each week, and it may stretch us some, but that is what Lent is about, and that is what it is intended to do. And by the time we get to the end of the journey, Easter morning, beauty will emerge. As we journey together, live in Lent each week, I'm going to make a suggestion at the end of each sermon for us to incorporate into our daily lives. And you all have the option to accept that invitation or not. But this week, I invite you all to think of ways that you can be better stewards of God, to spend some time thinking and determining what it is that you have to offer, and to offer it. Now, this will look different for all of us. For some of us, it means that we will take time and energy and donate that to the community soup kitchen. Or we will stop by a neighbor's house to see if they need help with something. For others, it will mean making a monetary donation. But all of us have gifts to offer and share. So for this week, it means that we commit to live as God's good stewards, and that we offer what we can. And I encourage you all to pay attention to how God will take those things and multiply it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.